Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The Burt Show.
Within a year of you getting your boob job, your marriage was over. Does that sound right to you guys? 1-855-BURT-SHOW. So there is a dating expert that's online right now that says that she was having like some thoughts about her boobs. They weren't sitting as high as she wanted them to anymore. So,
gravity's a bitch.
Right? So she says in a moment of weakness, she calls it, she visits this cosmetic surgeon and just gets a consultation for a boob job, right? So again, she said she wanted, you know, they were sitting a little low on her, a little saggy. She has a guy best friend that had made fun of them and it got into her head. So she goes to this cosmetic surgeon just to get a consultation. And somehow over the conversation when she's sitting there with the doctor, he reveals that about half of his married patients who get their boobs done end up leaving their husbands within a year. She's like, what? So she goes to another plastic surgeon because now she's interested in that conversation but also interested in getting a second opinion. And that doctor says the exact same thing, that about half of women that are married that come in to get that specific cosmetic surgery, their marriages are over within a year.
This has to be indicative of something else.
Well, she talked to a couple of therapists about it, also talked to the doctors about it, and what they said was that they didn't feel attractive anymore. They didn't feel like their husbands were attracted to them anymore. And that's where it started for them. So they weren't fulfilled physically, which made them feel like they weren't fulfilled emotionally. And when they got that done, it did something to trigger this awareness that my husband's not attracted to me and I'm not attracted to him anymore.
Wow.
Interesting.
So I'm wondering if you guys have gone through this and this was the case for you or not. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. And we could use the voice disguiser if you want also.
Yeah, the article says that the surgeon said that these women are usually overlooked by husbands who once desired them, most complaining that they're now seen as mothers and house cleaners.
That would freak me out if I'm a dude and I'm listening to this and I am married and my wife is going to go in for for surgery. You got about a year left.
Well, I would be more concerned if I were like, I think it's eye-opening. Like listening to this, it's eye-opening for couples that if you're going to do a surgery like that, what are the real reasons behind doing it?
Right.
And if you aren't feeling desired by your husband anymore, it's a very important conversation you need to have with him as to how to get yourself out of that hole before it's too late.
All right. Today is follow-up Thursday. It is Thursday. So this is the day that we dedicate. When you guys hit us up with an email and you're like, Burt Show, whatever happened to blank? We do the research. We get you guys some answers. In this case, it was after finding out that her fiance cheated, she was faced with a really tough decision: return his grandmother's ring or sell it for cash. And I think, I can't quite remember, but was this the one where the parents were giving a hard time also? Or is that a different one?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but this original story is from August 7th of last year, and our listener wishes to continue to remain anonymous. But after finding out that her fiance was cheating on her for years, she called off the engagement. Then she was faced with a dilemma because she had to decide whether she wanted to return the engagement ring or not. But it wasn't any ordinary engagement ring. It was a heirloom that belonged to his grandmother on his mother's side. So initially she wanted to give it back, but she also thought the 2 years that she wasted with him was worth something. So maybe she should keep the ring. Abby and I suggested that she just move forward with her life and return the ring. Bert, you suggested she sell the ring and use the money for a nice solo vacation. And Kristen took it a step further, suggesting that she tell him who she sold the ring to. And if he wanted it back, he would have to pay them. So whose advice did she end up taking?
Well, it took me some time, but I came around to the idea of just taking the high road. and returning the ring to my ex. Letting go of that little reminder of our relationship felt like a huge weight off my shoulders. It was like closing the door on a chapter of my life that I came to wish never happened. The universe works in a funny way. The very next day after giving my ex back the ring, I met someone. He's the total opposite of my ex, which makes it feel like he is my reward for putting up with so much and then still doing the right thing and taking the high road. If I could do anything differently, I wish I had ended things with my ex way sooner. There had always been signs, even early on. As things continued to get worse, I shouldn't have held on. I've learned now to always walk away from a situation that doesn't feel right. Giving it time never fixes a situation that just isn't meant to be. Thanks for being interested. Love you guys.
Your gut doesn't lie. Your gut doesn't lie. In a case like this.
It's like you always say, you always end up going back to your authentic self one way or another.
Yep. Yeah, but even if she had sold that ring, don't you think she still would have met that dude?
No, the universe would have been like, screw you. Yeah. No, you're sweating.
You were already rewarded in cash. I'm not giving you a man.
No, you could have had a cash and a man. No, you can't be rich and in love. The universe has to balance it out somehow.
You can't have it all, Kristen. You cannot. All right, so getting back to the original question here, an observation by this one dating expert that says, look, you're on the clock. Your marriage is on the clock. If you get a boob job while you're married, half of them are going to end.
Because not one, but two surgeons told her, yes, of my patients who came in and got boob jobs while they were currently married, they ultimately got divorced.
Emily, you were on The Voice Disguiser. Did you find this true or not?
This was true for me.
Yeah. So
after kids, I needed that, I think, and
so you weren't being like fulfilled and you weren't feeling like your husband was into you as much, and at that point did you realize that the disconnection was too far?
Yeah, so I didn't know if it was me or him, but I felt like I needed something to make me feel better, and then maybe then I would feel better about us, and that didn't seem to happen after.
So you got divorced after the boob job?
Yeah, I thought it was just, I needed something in my brain to feel better, but even after that, I was still.
I appreciate it.
Hey, but you have nice new boobs. There. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a silver lining. The silicone lining. Hey, Lauren, good morning. You're on The Burt Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay.
Thanks for having me on.
Say again.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Okay, the theory here is that if you get a boob job while you're married, the marriage is on the clock, about a year away.
Yes, I am currently getting a divorce, and I got my boob job two years ago.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, all 2 years.
And what do you think plays into this statistic here? Did you fall into the same where you had kids, weren't feeling attractive, husband wasn't viewing you the same way?
I did not have children. I was unable to, but I think the biggest thing was a new self-confidence. I never had any, and so even when I was getting them, he was like, once you get them, you're going to leave me. And that ultimately did occur. I think it was just that something else that women need to help them feel better.
Huh. Any of this make sense to you guys?
Yeah, like I said, I think it was just indicative of something deeper. Mm-hmm. So before you go through with that, you know, really, really dig deep into your own feelings and also into your relationship to see, am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for him? Am I doing this for us? Like, am I trying to do this to try to fix us? Because a boob job is not going to fix your relationship.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino.
America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In a world where people are already confused on if anything is real, even if you see it right in front of you, Cassie, you're about to make it even more confusing because of glitches in the Matrix.
Oh my God, I am obsessed with these. And a lot of them can be explained away, but the ones that can't are what fascinates me. Now, if you're unfamiliar, glitches in the Matrix are sort of things that seem off in your everyday reality. And they fall into four main categories from what I've seen. It's things inexplicably duplicating. So, like, let's say you have, like, a favorite necklace, and then one day you find an extra necklace. Or if you are a smoker, you put your lighter down, you can't find it. Then you find your lighter, and then you find the original one where it was supposed to be all along, even there, though it wasn't there to begin with. Like, that's actually happened. So other things changing slightly. So this actually happened to me, and I'll go into that in a second. Losing time or distance while driving, and then near-death experiences where you're like, I'm sure I was about to die, and then all of a sudden things were reset and I didn't. And I've got examples of all of them. But we're going to start with things changing slightly, and this happened to me. I can't believe I forgot it. So I've been driving my husband's car to work, and I go in through the passenger door in the mornings because it's what faces the house. I open the passenger door, like press the button to unlock it, open the passenger door, dump my book bag in, then go around the front of the car to unplug it because it's an electric car, then go in the driver's side. And I always thought it was weird that in this car, it's so annoying, you have to unlock it from the inside. So I always push the button up to unlock. That's how you unlock it. And I was like, that is so backwards and weird that you have to push up. And I distinctly remember being like, I thought you had to push down, but I guess you have to push up, looking at it and clearly seeing to unlock the car, you push up on the button. And then a few days later, I went and it was switched again. You have to push the button down to unlock it. And so that's the sort of thing I'm talking about where you can be like, okay, I guess I misremembered, but I distinctly remember getting out the flashlight and being like, this car is so backwards, talking to my husband about it, and then it was back to normal.
When that kind of stuff happens to me, it's normally just because I was drunk.
This was like 5 a.m., so definitely not.
Do you think, Chad, because I would totally do this to my wife, Renee, do you think there is a switch where you can choose which way to flip it?
No, because
he's just messing with you.
It's printed on there. It's like this is a car from 2003, so it's like manually printed on the button which is unlock and which is lock. But this, so you'll hear these things, but when enough people experience stuff, you're like, okay, well, maybe there's something to it. Like this woman and her grandmother's blue eyes.
My grandma has very prominent blue eyes, like crystal clear. It's a very prominent feature about my grandma that she has very blue, piercing crystal blue eyes. So this one day, she picks me up. We go to Wendy's. We're sitting in the glass area. If you know Wendy's back then you know what I'm talking about. We're sitting there eating our fries, and I look up at my grandma, and my grandma has brown eyes. They're brown. And so naturally, I was like, Grandma, your eyes are brown. And she was like, yeah, Lauren, I have brown eyes. I was like, Grandma, no, you don't. You have very blue eyes. What do you mean you have blue eyes? And she was like, no, Lauren, I have brown eyes. So whatever, we eat. She takes me home, and this is a whole thing. I talked to my mom too, and I'm like, Mom, Grandma has brown eyes. And my mom was like, yeah, Grandma has brown eyes. No, she doesn't. She has blue eyes. What do you mean she has brown eyes? Like, everyone knows that Grandma has blue eyes, and everybody was making me believe that I was crazy. The next time that I see my grandma, 3 days later, my grandma has blue eyes again.
So that was Lauren Ann on TikTok.
I used to have this experience with my mom, and I thought I was tripping until she told me that her eyes actually change colors depending on the season.
Whoa, that's cool.
Which is, I guess, a thing that some people, their eyes, they just change. So her eyes are like four different colors depending on like the weather.
Is it as distinct as like brown to blue?
Yes. It's very distinct.
See, and this is what I like doing because I like trying to figure out how I can dismantle and disprove like the glitches to be like, no, this is reality. Weird things happen on Earth. But this next one is from BizManiac's comment section, and he's reading an encounter of a mom and her child.
Was walking my 8-year-old daughter home from school and crossed the street near the house. Halfway across, it was blurry and confusing for a moment, and then we were on a corner far from home. We looked at each other in silence for a moment, and she said, Dad, I think we just teleported. We walked and talked about it. We both had clear memories of passing landmarks before the portal shift.
So basically, like, sometimes they'll go through something and they'll feel like I definitely died, or we've completely moved locations in our car and we don't know how. And there's always a passenger who's like, did you just experience that? Because if it's just you, you're like, okay, I had a mental break. But if somebody else witnesses the same thing, it's really creepy. And then the last one is stuff multiplying, which I talked about earlier.
We lived in Tennessee. I needed a dish for rings. I bought this cute little turtle. I got it at an antique mall. When I bought it, I distinctly remember I found it on a shelf and I was walking through the antique mall holding this turtle in one hand and a little ceramic Scotty dog in the other hand. And it was definitely just one. It's not a thing that you see every day. I can't think of another place that I've seen this. I don't think it's a new item. It definitely seems... I don't think it's an actual antique, but it is probably vintage. Tell me why when I was unpacking just now, I have two of them.
Yeah. She didn't figure out how to do that with hundreds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they go on to say, like, the second object has the exact same defects as the first one. So it's a dupe. It's not like another one randomly appeared. It's got the same chips, the same scratches in the exact same places. And that's what's common with all of the stories.
That's crazy. The universe gave her a buy one, get one deal, and she didn't even know.
Right?
BOGO.
There is a nasty rumor going around this office. It's also, I went to Snopes to look if this is true or not also. But the rumor is that you can have fun without drinking.
Really?
So Jackson Kim, our producer here, made this an assignment over the weekend, and he's come back to report back to us. Is it possible to have fun without drinking?
Mine has a little bit of a twist. It's not without drinking. It's without getting overly drunk.
Okay.
Wow. So you can't have fun sober. Okay.
That might be a conversation for another
time.
Is
that your ruling, like the ruling in Indiana that tacos are sandwiches?
Yeah, you can have fun without having too many drinks.
Okay. Just being buzzed.
Yeah.
You can have fun. But sobriety is off the table.
Which, by the way, was news to me that I'm capable of this.
Okay. Have you always been a binge drinker?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I've honestly recently started having some internal dialogue with myself about my relationship with alcohol. It's
While you were drunk, or
I think that's probably where it started.
Yeah, it's always the next morning when you wake up and you have the hella hangover that you do. True. That you're like, what am I doing with my life? I never want to feel like this again. I'm never doing it. And right. Then next weekend rolls around, right. And you're like, yeah.
You forget all about it, right? Yeah, blissful ignorance is what I call it. And so. You know, I've started having these conversations. I don't think I have like a problem per se, but then you guys are all, you know, you always hear like, you don't have to drink to have fun. And then I really kind of thought about it and I was like, yeah, I believe that. But then if I really think about it, I don't think there's very many, if any, social situations that I've been in the last like few years where I haven't really been drunk for or drinking for.
Bert, this is speaking to your liver.
Right. Liver to liver. I've been having this fight for 20 something years, bro.
Right. And so, you know, if you catch me on a night out, a weekend out, I'm always the one that's like ordering shots for the table. Why not get the bucket of beers instead of one beer? You know, like I'm always kind of pushing that with like myself and my friends and whoever's around me. And, you know, we're always having a good time. And this is especially true for weddings. Like weddings in my head is like the time for you to get drunk with all of your friends that you haven't seen in a long time.
Plus the booze is free.
Plus the booze is free, which is a huge plus, a huge bonus. And so this past weekend, I went to a friend's wedding. It was on a Friday, and it was about 30 minutes away from my place. And the original plan was for me to get a hotel with a buddy of mine who was flying into town so that, you know, I could drive over there, be safe, you know, Uber to the venue, Uber back, like, you know, whatever the case is that you always do. But I had an especially busy following day. I had some early Mother's Day things going on. We had Mikey's last ride that I didn't want to feel horrible for. And the more I was thinking about it, the more I knew that, like, I was just going to be down bad probably until Sunday or Monday if I were to do the normal wedding drinking that I usually do. And so the day of, I actually made the executive decision to drive directly to the venue so that I'd be forced to be responsible, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
because you have to drive home.
Because I'd have to drive home. And part of me was a little embarrassed to say that I was kind of nervous about it. And I was worried that I was going to be kind of the guy that's like, you know, I'm there, you know, you eat dinner and then everyone's dancing during the reception. And then I didn't know if I had it in me to actually have fun while I was there. Like, I thought I was maybe just going to be sitting at a table by myself trying to, like, convince people to come over and talk to me. And, like, that was going to be it. But turns out I had a lot of fun, way more fun than I ever thought that I was going to have. And it didn't come without like its immense amount of peer pressure from my friends asking me like why I decided to drive. It was crazy that I decided to drive. But, you know, I showed up. I had one welcoming drink right after the ceremony. And then I had a beer that I held in my hand for the entirety of the reception just to like have some sort of, you know, fixation that I was holding around. And
yeah, it was your whoopee beer.
Well, not only the whoopee beer, but if somebody sees you that you have a drink in hand, they are less apt to pressure you, even if there's nothing in it.
Exactly. And I also ended up being the hero at the end of the night because I was the one that was able to drive everyone to the after party. And so, you know, it ended up working out super well. But I don't know. Like, I noticed that I was still very social. I was able to talk to everybody and catch up with people that I hadn't talked to and seen in a long time. I still danced on the dance floor and had a really good time there. Like, everything still went super smoothly, and I didn't feel like death the next day. So it was a huge win in my book.
Yeah, there was a while ago that we were talking about this book that was very impactful on me, This Naked Mind, which really does take every excuse you ever gave yourself about drinking. Kristen's husband, Bart, read it also.
Maltese read it multiple times.
Multiple times while he was drinking. it really just eliminates every single excuse. And it was very, very impactful. But I feel like I have been living your story my entire life. The few times that I've actually dabbled in it, I felt more myself, more in control. And I really felt like it was a self-esteem boost. Shoot, I went out the other day with some friends. We had a men's meeting. There's just four of us, and we normally would drink. We're only there for an hour and a half, and I didn't have a drink. And I was celebrating myself like I was like on the podium at the Olympics. Right. But it does change things when you don't drink, and you have to prove to yourself time and time again that you can do it.
I wonder if it's a red flag that I don't want to read this book.
Don't read it unless you're ready, because it'll only work when you're ready. If not, I wouldn't even pick it up.
100%.
I'm still waiting to read it. It's been 2 years since they told me about it.
Take your time.
Same, same.
It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Sometimes we're just fragile little boys. Fragile little emotional boys. So how can women make men feel more emotionally safe, if that is even the goal?
Yeah, I'm not known for wanting men to feel safe ever, but I do feel like we talk about how women have the need to feel emotionally and physically safe on this show a lot. And so when I came across this clip from one of my favorite podcasts, The Bile Files, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to talk about it.
Would you say, if you were ranking things that you were most women are looking for in a man, would you say providing safety is number one most of the time?
I think if they were making a list, it wouldn't be the number one thing. But I think internally, subconsciously, it's probably in the top three.
Yeah, I wouldn't write that down as number one on my list.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So I was listening to The Bile Files, and he was interviewing this guy named Lewis Howes, who runs this podcast called The School of Greatness. And he talks a lot about these like self-help topics a lot. And Nick asked Lewis, how can women connect better with the men in their lives? And he said, it's all about making them also feel emotionally safe.
What's one bit of advice you'd have for women to better connect with any man in their life, to help a man in their life feel safer or more vulnerable? How could the women who are listening and saying, hey, well, I want to help, I want to at least be an empathetic partner, what would be advice that you'd have?
It depends on if it's like a brother or a father or, a friend or something like that. But I think a lot of men in general lack hearing a few things. I appreciate you. You're valued. And I love you. I think men lack hearing that, and it's a lot of what men want.
Yeah.
They just want to hear, I appreciate you. Thank you for working so hard. Like, I get just kind of emotional thinking about it, because I don't remember hearing that in my 20s and my early 30s. Like, the women in my life just saying, thank you for working so hard, like, for working on yourself, for showing up for us, for, you know, not that I was perfect or whatever, but just, like, men want to hear that they are valued for working hard and that they are accepted for who they are. I'm not saying it's justified if they're making mistakes left and right, but
when they do something that you're proud of, or you know that they worked out, tell them.
Men will move mountains for you if they hear that. It doesn't have to be every day, like constantly praising them or something, but it's just, man, you say that every once in a while, you're gonna get so much more out of the men in your life.
Amen. I do think this goes both ways, but since we're just focusing on guys here, yeah, I think it's a very, very, very valid point.
I completely agree with you. It definitely, I mean, anybody, I think, would want to feel appreciated for what they do in life and told that they are appreciated and loved. I guess it kind of ties into what Chris Rock once said, that not meant all men feel like they are loved unconditionally. You feel like you are loved with conditions. So I guess if you make a man feel like he's loved unconditionally, he'd appreciate it.
What are the conditions?
That he provides. I don't remember exactly what his joke was, but it was, I think it was, women, children, and dogs are loved unconditionally. Men are loved under the condition that they provide.
Ooh, really? Huh.
In all the relationships you've been in, how many have you felt safe in?
This one.
Really?
That's it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's
for
beautiful.
Sure. Yeah, she goes out of her way to tell me how appreciated and loved I am. And I've never experienced that before.
Hmm. How about you?
I was afraid you were going to do that.
Oh, sorry.
You're the other guy on the show.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to.
I will, but it's not them. It's a me. None.
None?
Mm-mm.
You've not, really?
Uh-uh. But I don't think it had to do with the women. I think it had to do with me. Yeah, no. I never felt 100% safe in even my marriage. And she never did anything to really make me feel unsafe, I don't think. So I think it's a me thing, but
it's your
recently I've been experiencing it, but I would say for the most part, never.
I think it's your upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
You can blame your mama on that one.
Yeah, my daddy's got to take a nice share of that also.
Yeah,
that kind of safety has, I don't even know that has been my comfort zone up until recently. So I think you tend to pick partners that reflect where you are emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think until recently I have really been even open to 100% safety.
Ooh-wee.
I don't need that therapist no more.
We just saved you $200. You're welcome.
But I think what he says is absolutely the truth. And mm-hmm. for me, it hasn't even been, I don't need the words. I just need to see matching me my effort as much as I am giving you. You don't have to say a word. I don't need the words. Just as long as I know that we are a team together, that's all the appreciation I need.
It makes me want to go home and ask my husband, do you feel safe?
Aww.
You should. I think it depends on your love language. Like with the mm-hmm. I don't need the words either. I'm an actions guy. I like to see that you appreciate it. But the words don't hurt. It's nice to hear it every once in a while, too.
But maybe you think you don't need them or don't want them, but deep down, it really makes a difference to hear it.
Sometimes I think about that, because sometimes I think I have a love language, and then I'm like, nah, all of them pretty cool.
Yeah.
Kind of went all of them.
Give me
it's
the
a tie.
Gifts.
It's an absolute push on
give
all
me
of
the
them.
Touch.
Give me all of them.
Give me the words. Give me the actions. I want it all.
The Bird Show.
There are bucket list items, and apparently there are anti-bucket list items.
Mm.
So anti-bucket list items are items that you never want to do again or never want to do in the first place. And this is where we first heard about anti-bucket list.
Oh, yes, because this is an anti-bucket list.
Stuff that you don't ever want to do
You again. Never want no. to do it again. I would be happy if I never saw another opera again. Okay. What would be on your anti-bucket list?
I never want to milk a cow again. My grandfather was a farmer in Shropshire, and he once showed me how you milk a cow by hand, and it kills your hands, and you walk around like that for hours afterwards. Never
right.
again.
All right, so Bert tasked all of us to come up with our anti-bucket list. These could be things we never want to do again or things that we don't want to do, period. And I'm going to kick it off, and this is basically... tell me you're in radio without telling me you're in radio. This is a really, 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 really easy list for me to put together. So number one, squirt lemon juice in my eye. Number two, the cinnamon challenge because I inhaled it and got sent to the hospital. Number three, get duct tape to a pole holding up a sign that says honk if you have herpes too.
Oh.
Jello wrestling with rugby players from New York.
That actually sounds very fun.
So the Jello wasn't solid; it was liquid. So we were just Jello wrestling in like Jello soup. It was so gross. Ooh,
were they female rugby players?
Yes.
Oh, that's not. If that's your idea of fun, that's great. That wasn't my idea of fun.
It's not a Travis Kelce looking man coming and throwing you around in a good way.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I was like, sign me up. Put that on my bucket list.
Spring break, Daytona. And we all, myself and three friends, did Jello wrestling, and it was the stupidest thing ever.
Didn't you get really bruised from it too, or something?
I had her whole handprint was on my arm from where she grabbed me and like flipped me over and like literally just I was a rag doll.
Wow.
A rag doll.
She didn't take it easy on you.
No.
She did that to you. Imagine her boyfriend.
Good luck to them. Number one on the list is pose nude for an art class. I will never, ever, ever.
You did that?
Yeah, lost a bet on the show.
Did you feel awkward or did you feel empowered?
Awkward. Hated every second of it. Will never, ever, 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 ever do it again.
Okay.
Which is why it's on my anti-bucket list.
Okay.
Do not recommend. 10 out of 10. Do not recommend. And then last one, date.
I would hope not.
I am a happily married woman right now, and I hope that's the way it remains, because listening to you guys, that is the last thing I want to do.
Mm-hmm. God, it's miserable.
All right, so Mo, your anti-bucket list, sir.
Okay, I think I'm done with the nudist colonies.
Yep.
I don't want to be naked in public anymore.
You went to a nudist colony?
Yeah, I lost a bet also right here on the Bird Show.
Yeah, remind me to never make a bet with y'all.
Don't. You thought wearing a diaper was bad?
Funny you'd bring that up, KK. I know.
We should revisit our worst bet payoffs for Abby so she knows the trauma that she missed.
Oh, okay. For sure.
At some point.
We'll do a grand list of all of our bet payoffs over the years.
Y'all got to be afraid of HR.
Yeah. We actually have one now.
So, yes, I'm done with the diapers. I don't want to go camping again. Mm. I went camping once. I did not enjoy that. I don't want to be pregnant or wear heels anymore. God bless the ladies. That was tough. I don't want to climb any mountains. That's never been my thing. I have been crapped on by a bird before.
Ooh.
Me too.
You have too?
Yeah,
it's not fun.
Surprisingly solid.
Yeah, I love how they're like, it's good luck because it's such a crappy experience. Uh-huh. Like, you're like, we need to say something to make this better.
And I was eating pizza at the time. And he got my pizza too.
No.
Me Do you think it was pizza. Ranch?
No.
Was it New York pizza?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Yep. So, yeah, that's
I took
that
one
was some
bite.
Pigeon poo right there.
Yeah.
I'm having pigeon pizza.
Drive anywhere that's more than 2 hours long. No more road trips for me.
Oh, okay.
And swim with sharks. Did it once, never want to do it again.
All right. Oh, yeah, that's a solid anti-bucket list.
Thank you.
All right, Abby?
Oh, mine are surprisingly serious, but we start out light. So the first one is I never want to eat an oyster again. The texture is so like... It's literally like you're eating snot, except people are expecting you to enjoy it. They're like, aren't these delicious? And I'm like, you're psychotic. I don't want to do anything thrill seeker-ish. Like, I don't want to bungee jump. I ain't going skydiving.
Just once.
No, I ain't going swimming with sharks. I like being alive for the most part. Ask me on a bad day. Maybe I'll be into it. Number three, I don't want to go on another date that I'm not excited about. I feel like I've followed the advice of everyone being like, you know, give them a chance. Maybe blah, blah, blah. I'm so sick of going out with people that I'm not into. And maybe I'll get to a point where I will be open-minded again, but I want to be a closed-minded AF for the next couple years and just go out with people that I'm really excited about.
Which
is why we didn't pursue anybody in the matchmaking segment, because if you're not feeling it, then don't force it.
Exactly. I never want to experience unrequited love again. I wouldn't say like I was ever in love with someone, but I definitely feel like I've had a series of people where I've been really into them and they have not been into me. And that is just sad and pathetic. So I never want to do that again. And I also never want to lose another friend to pride. I never want to put my pride above my friendships. And I always want to be the first to apologize and the first to make amends. So
wow.
You went pride, we went nudity.
Yeah, right. You were indeed.
I did less bets than y'all, so I had to fill the spaces.
All right, Cassie, your anti-bucket list.
We got a couple of commonalities, right? Or I do with you guys. So skydiving, thrill-seeking, cage diving with great whites, absolutely not. Never, literally never will I skydive. Climb Mount Everest. Mo, you said mountains specifically. For me, it's Mount Everest. Why would you do that? I don't understand it. Hard drugs. I have never done them and I never want to do them. I'm talking about the hard drugs. Like if you think
like the snowy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to Australia. I wanted to go there for so long, but everything I see coming out of that country is a giant snake, a giant spider, or a tiny deadly octopus. It's just, I'm like, how do you guys survive there? It is a wild, wild land of creatures that want to kill you.
Well, everyone's just like the crocodile hunter there. Yeah. We think he's like a big star. He's just your Joe next door.
There was a picture in Australia of like a shark, like a great white and a saltwater crocodile in the same shot on the beach. No, thank you. And then this one is more serious. Not take risks while I'm young. Like, I wish I had done more things like study abroad or like gotten out of my comfort zone more. And I look back, I wish I had joined a sorority. Like, I know that's not risky, but for me, it was just sort of
depending on the sorority, it can be a little risky.
It was outside of my comfort zone, and I wish I had done those things.
All right. I think those are all solid anti-bucket lists.
Hey, The Bird Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.